clearly the offense isn't working. Okay, you can point fingers, you can say anything you want. Clearly the offense isn't working. Clearly the quarterback is not playing as well as you wanted him to play when you made the big deal for him and gave him the big contract. In most every situation, where's the logical place to start if you're going to make a change, if you're going to try and improve things? It's quarterback if you think you have an option that could do the job, and I think the Browns do. And that's why, at this point, the change that I think you should try to start with, let's see Jameis Winston against the Bengals. Do I think that'll happen? No, I don't.
I agree with you completely. It is easier to change one position than it is to change five positions. It is easier to change one position than to try to remove all of the wide receivers and find other wide receivers. It's the easiest, least overhaul thing that could take place in a short period of time.
The offensive coordinator has been here for six games. Obviously, it hasn't worked. You make that move? I don't know.
I mean, the problem is whomever you're going to bring in here at OC, especially with the fact that the OC is not calling the plays, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to get rid of that guy and a brand new offense is going to show up magically the next day.
You wouldn't think so. No.
It doesn't work like that. So I think you kind of have to go your direction, Jeff. You got to go put Jameis in there and see what this thing looks like.
Stefanski's press conference coming up at 12:30. We'll hear it right here. Brian's in Florida. Brian, what part of the state?
I am up in Jacksonville. I was actually at our only victory this year. So,
well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
We're happy for you.
Yeah, I've been a Watson defender. So as far as emotions and all of this, I feel like the data backs it up. One interesting thing I wanted to mention is now we're to the point where he started six games in 2022, six games in 2023, and six games in 2024. And if you look at the stats, whether it's the completion percentage, the yards per game, the touchdowns versus interceptions, his stats are remarkably similar going back all 3 years and comparing them. So any fall off that's attributed to a coordinator or even a line, I think the common denominator is Deshaun. And second to that, if you go back to 2022, Jacoby Brissett was not mobile. He got sacked 24 times in 11 starts, Watson 20 and 6 starts. And then, you know, same with last year. Flacco was sacked 8 times, not a mobile guy, in 5 or 6 games. And Watson doubled him up at 17 sacks last year. So there's a common denominator here where I'm not defending the line, but holding the ball and the way that he operates and processes, it makes it remarkably worse.
And Brian, that was the MO in Houston as well. He got sacked a lot.
Right. We're to the point now, guys, where I think the one problem here is I feel like we're being gaslit. We're being told that, no, we just need to execute. Cleveland fans are not stupid.
No, they're not.
We've seen this before. Going back to 99, in fact, we're experts at looking at quarterback play and identifying. And I think we're all being frustrated here because we see it with our eyes. And like I said, 3 years, six games each year, same exact statistics. How much more of this do we need to continue before we draw conclusions and just move on? So that's my question.
Brian, thank you very much. It's going to take somebody, and don't ask me who. We can assume ownership because, again, you don't bring in a guy like Deshaun with what it took to get him here unless ownership signs off on the deal or insists on the deal, one or the other. And if they insisted on it, fine. I thought you were getting a Pro Bowl quarterback. It just hasn't worked out that way. And so I think that decision has to come from above because those are the folks we would assume who allowed the move to happen. And at the time, you thought you were getting an upgrade. And it doesn't look like you've picked up an upgrade.
The other side of it, too, is it's not like, and you talk about a sample size. We've got a Deshaun Watson sample size. We have a very big Kevin Stefanski sample size. If there is one thing we could say with certainty when it comes to Kevin Stefanski, he is not going to walk out to the podium and address the media today and go, "My quarterback stinks. I don't know what to tell you. He sucks. Can't read a defense. He holds onto the ball too long. Any questions?" Like, it's not going to happen. That's not Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski could come out. He's going to say that this is on me. We got to get it fixed. We got to get corrected. We got to work on the penalties. Deshaun, it's going to be the Kevin Stefanski press conference we would hear if they won is the same one that we would hear if they lose. And you love that out of that guy as a consistent message. But, folks, you're not going to have him walk out onto the podium and go, "My quarterback stinks. I don't tell you."
No, you're not going to hear that. Aunt Bev is with us. Hello, Bev.
How are you, Aunt Bev?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, gentlemen. I am not on the Blaine Deshaun Watson train. And people talking about, you know, the young quarterbacks that are doing well. I would ask you one question. What is the difference? The difference is coaching. Who on our coaching staff would you say is doing a good job?
Well, right now, nobody.
You know, so.
But these are the same. But these are the same folks in most instances that coached you to 11-6 last year, Beth.
I'll say this. Seems like there's enough water and towels all over the place for everybody, so they're doing well.
Wow.
Okay, who? Because Jim Schwartz, our defense was terrible on the road, and someone even said, a player said that his defense doesn't travel. But, you know, I can understand some mistakes, but it seems like we aren't even doing the elementary things correct.
In offensively, Bev, I agree with you completely. Different offensive line coach, different running backs coach, different offensive coordinator. I get that. Defensive side of the ball, you brought back the team pretty much as was. You added, made a couple of additions. Clearly, they will tell you, I would agree, nobody's doing a great job coaching right now. Nobody's doing a great job playing right now.
So then, was Bill Callahan that important? Because Kevin did hire him. And secondly, on the field, what player has made a great play for our quarterback, to get a spark? Who has made a great play this year on offense?
Bev, that's a real valid question.
Yeah, so part one of that question, there's a lot of theories being flown around. One of them is the Bill Callahan effect. Like, yes, when you have one of the best offensive line coaches ever, there's always a step back that's going to take place no matter who you bring in. The other theory that's being thrown about is by going to a straight drop back, your offensive linemen are too small for the style of offense that you're trying to play with Deshaun Watson.
Which, by the way, if you look at them, makes you laugh.
That's another theory that's being thrown about, that going from, you know, the old Shanahan system, Kubiak system, and all that stuff, where guys that were a little bit smaller and a little bit quicker, and maybe it's just square peg, round hole with the offensive line. Again, that's another theory that's being thrown about.
And the quarterback holding onto the football too long.
Exactly. So three, quarterback holding onto the ball too long.
I can't tell you of anybody who's made great plays on offense to help out the quarterback. I also can't point to the quarterback making great plays to help out anybody on offense.
Yeah, I mean, he has about 1 to 2 throws a game that you're like, damn, that was a nice throw.
A heck of a throw.
Yeah, he's got 1 to 2 of them a game.
Scott is in Cambridge, Ohio. Hello, Scott.
How are you, Scott?
I'm better. You know, it is what it is, right?
It is 1-5.
It's 1-5, and it's disgusting. And, you know, I've thought about 100 different scenarios while I've been on wait. But I keep going back to day one of Mr. Haslam coming on the scene. And literally told us all, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to strive to bring a winner to Cleveland, and I'm going to do everything I can do in my power to get it right. And from that point on, they were 1 and done, 2 years and done. I'm floating this and doing this. Who is being held responsible right now in the front office? Is it going to happen? Is this the year that they fire Andrew Berry for the decision? Someone.
Scott, let me throw this one at you.
Sure.
One issue that I had early on in the Haslam ownership was, and you just said they're going to try everything they can, was the lack of continuity. And they have shown continuity with this front office and with this head coach. And I think it's paid off. It's not paying off now. I think it paid off last year. I think it's paid off over the run that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have had together. It's certainly not working now, but I do appreciate the continuity, because I do think the head coach is a good head coach. If Kevin were to be let go tomorrow, he would be a head coach in the NFL next year. I really believe that. And if Andrew Berry were let go tomorrow, he would at the very least be somebody's assistant GM until another opportunity came along.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll go to the point to where everyone is talking, do you bench him? Do you bring a spark to the team? You're 1-5. And someone's decision is going to pay at the end of the year, and I play him. I don't care that he doesn't throw for 200 yards. I play him. Unless he has an injury, I play him, and I do everything in my power to try to win a game. If he's the Kubiak offense, if he's running someone else's offense, he's stubborn, won't give up the play calling. Okay, I get that. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know what's going on and shuffling down through. But do something. You have third and two, and you run a sweep when you have a different quarterback come in and you don't push the pile. You had two downs to get a first down.
And Scott, to the guy who's not exactly known for being fleet of foot, that's the problem that I had with that play call. Why are you handing it to Cedric Tillman?
Elijah Moore seemed like a more logical guy there, didn't he?
Jalen Darden would seem like a more logical guy that you could hand that to. Or, even Amari Cooper seems like a more logical guy that you could turn around and hand that to.
Or leave Deshaun in the game and run a play. A lot of different things you could have done.
I don't even hate the play call, man. I hate the fact that they handed it to Cedric Tillman, of all people.